The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
To the house! Touchdown!
This is unbelievable.
Welcome to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. It's your call for the best college football coverage. From National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between, CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Barton Simmons. That's Tom Fornelli. I'm Chip Patterson. And we're recording on Monday afternoon. It is just short of 4:15 on the East Coast. And things are moving quickly. Things are moving very quickly, particularly in Stillwater for the Oklahoma State football program. We will get to that in just a moment. We will also get to some of the developments out of Iowa as strength and conditioning coordinator has been relieved of his duties. What happened at Clemson over the weekend? And I think we got a pretty fun exercise taking a look at the scene of quarterbacks throughout college football. But we begin in Stillwater with Chuba Hubbard, the nation's leading returning rusher, a Heisman Trophy candidate, the most influential player in the Oklahoma State football program, retweeting a photo initially tweeted, shout out to Kyle Boone, college football, college basketball writer at CBS Sports and Oklahoma State aficionado, along with Kyle Porter. Kyle Boone shared a photo of Mike Gundy post-fishing trip, wearing a t-shirt that's of the One America News Network OAN. If you've been following Mike Gundy during this offseason, including during his discussion about why players need to return as soon as possible for the economy of the entire state of Oklahoma, then you will remember him mentioning that as one of his new favorite news networks. So Kyle Boone tweets the photo, Chuba Hubbard retweets the photo and says, I will not stand for this. This is completely insensitive to everything going on in society, and it's unacceptable. I will not be doing anything with Oklahoma State until things, all caps, change. Since then, best defensive player has chimed in. Since then, a spokesperson for the offensive line has said, as an offensive line, we stand and support Chuba. We've also got former players, including Justice Hill and others, that have been weighing in, and I wonder, as we're sitting here at 4:15, if Mike Gundy is going to need the outspoken support of his players to keep his job beyond the next month, the next week? Like, how quickly did things move here for this Oklahoma State football program?
Well, so first of all, what was it? It was back in April when he had the OAN press conference.
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
And who would have thought when we were naming Oklahoma the OAN national champions that the allegiance would backfire so dramatically just a couple months later? I think it's – so, A, this is obviously sort of a movement now. Not just with Oklahoma State, but I think Marvin Wilson started at Florida State.
Iowa.
Chuba Hubbard, I'm sure. Yeah, Iowa. Chuba Hubbard, I'm sure, sort of found his voice in watching those two movements take place. This is, I don't want to say a new reality, but a new, this is present now and a threat to all coaches moving forward that, look, if they're not meeting the approval of their team, this could happen. And I do think that this only happens, like, we're still in a position where, like, this is the reason Chuba Hubbard felt secure in making a statement like that is because he's Chuba Hubbard. Is because Chuba Hubbard, if he gets benched, like, Mike Gundy needs Chuba Hubbard more than Chuba Hubbard needs Mike Gundy.
Mm-hmm.
If Chuba Hubbard gets benched this year, he'll get drafted in the spring, and maybe he's a third rounder instead of a second rounder. That's sort of the extent of it. Whereas if he doesn't play, Mike Gundy's and Barton Simmons's playoff hopes are kind of down the drain. So it's still a unique situation. And yet, like, you asked, like, sort of, I don't know what your question was specifically, but it was sort of like, are we witnessing the beginning of Mike Gundy's departure? I think we're, as we sit here today at 3 Central Time on Monday, we're still a ways away from that, but that's dependent on what comes out. Like, you can't, like, Mike Gundy can't be asked to resign for wearing an OAN shirt. As funny as that sort of would be, like comedically speaking, like, that's not, I don't think that's a reality, but to your point, there's other guys popping up now that are saying things, and Chuba Hubbard probably isn't posting about change just because he wore an OAN shirt.
Right.
This is probably symptomatic of a lot of issues. And so now that the seal has been broken, it's going to be really interesting to see what else people say, what issues are there, and are those issues going to be ones that are not easily resolved? Because here, the other thing is, like, when you think about the Marvin Wilson thing, Marvin Wilson saw his new coach post a misleading, like give a misleading quote to the media. And Marvin Wilson doesn't really know Mike Norvell that well. Marvin Wilson is more of a central figure at Florida State than Mike Norvell is at this point. Marvin Wilson has plenty of leverage himself. So Marvin Wilson can be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I just met you, bro. Like, what are you saying? That's not going to fly. This is sort of different. This isn't like Chuba Hubbard being like, this looks like a miscommunication that I'm not going to let stand. We better get to know each other before you go out there wearing OAN shirts. This is like, he like, there is a relationship there of 3 years that is informing his decision to speak out, which is probably not the best sign when you're thinking about Mike Gundy's locker room and where things stand.
Yeah, this is the shirt is a symptom. It's not the disease. It's just like the, you know, or the proverbial straw that might have broken the camel's back. There's so much of the response I've seen is like, well, if he was wearing a CNN t-shirt, would this be a big deal? And it's not.
It would be a huge deal. If Mike Gundy's wearing a CNN t-shirt, I don't believe it. I think that's fake news.
But I mean, here, I'm going to, like, there's a difference between what OAN is and what Fox, MSNBC, and CNN are. Like, I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch MSNBC News. I don't watch CNN. Or actually, I do. The only time I would ever watch any of those networks is if there's a debate and it's only being shown on that network, because I treat those networks the same way I treat ESPN. I watch ESPN for live sporting events. I don't watch any of the other crap on ESPN. I don't need to hear people's opinions on anything. And that's how I view those news networks, because they're TV networks with time to fill. And we found that when that happens, there's not always facts to share for 24 hours. You need people yelling about things. So you lose a little reality no matter which network you want to choose. So, like, if you're on the left side, you think Fox is, you know, crazy right propaganda. If you're on the right, you think MSNBC is crazy left propaganda. And if you're just a normal human being, you just look at CNN and shake your head. OAN is well past all three of them, because OAN's not really a news outlet as much as it is like I don't know the proper word. It's like a conspiracy site in a lot of ways. It presents things as facts, whereas like maybe a news outlet, like a legitimate one, will take facts and maybe put a spin on it that's more to their desired angle. OAN takes things and just that might be true, might not be true, probably aren't true, most people know aren't true, and then presents them as facts. And it's dangerous because it's misleading stuff. But more than anything, it's the fact that Mike Gundy is wearing that shirt and some of the things that that network or outlet, and I use these terms in quotes, have said about things like the Black Lives Matter movement, where they're calling it a domestic terrorism organization. So if you are an African-American player on Oklahoma State and you sit there and see your coach is wearing the shirt of somebody who thinks that, you know, believing that Black Lives Matter makes them a terrorist, that's probably going to rub them the wrong way. And if there are other things that have been happening and you just look at the current situation of the last month or so of the world and country that we live in, where players, I mean, it's crazy in real time. Players are starting to realize how much power they've actually had, even though for years they might have had it, but they never really were sure. And they were kind of, you know, tepid about using that power and seeing what they could get with it. They're kind of starting to realize, oh, wow, no, we actually have a lot of power and a lot of leverage. Even if we're not being paid, they still need us to help make the money. And they're got access to using their voice, and they're seeing that, you know, opening up and being honest, or at least sharing what they experience, can benefit them. And it's clear that with what Chuba said, and then how quickly so many of his current teammates and former Oklahoma State players jumped out to echo his sentiments and support them, that there's something going on at Oklahoma State that we are not privy to behind the scenes, that the players definitely seem to have a problem with, that the players have definitely been talking to each other about for years. This isn't new to them, and they're bringing it to light. And Chip, whether it leads to Mike Gundy losing his job, I don't know. I think we're going to need to see what comes out of this, but I would say that the odds of Mike Gundy losing his job on Monday afternoon are a lot higher than they were when we woke up on Monday morning.
He shouldn't lose his job because of a t-shirt. And he shouldn't lose his job because of whatever news outlet he chooses to watch. And he shouldn't lose his job even based on, you know, whatever he chooses to believe. But if he cannot be trusted as a leader in the locker room, well, then the administration has a reason to doubt whether or not he should have that job. Because this is fascinating to me that it's happened in college football, because the power dynamic has always been so overwhelming in the hands of these coaches. And if these players had felt like they were made uncomfortable, or if they felt like there have been not one incident, not one comment on the practice field a couple years ago, but if it's just been day after day, or just a whole bunch of just small, very nuanced instances that have created an environment that make these players feel uncomfortable, right now they do have an opportunity, much like Marvin Wilson, much like the Iowa players, to stand up and be like, we don't want to stand for this anymore. And like, dude, Barton, you mentioned the comedy factor in this. How about, remember, like, Mike Gundy saying that social media in general is just for people to bitch about their problems, and it's like the worst thing ever. And he had that little clip where he like came to the mic and was like, and everybody was like, oh, that's cute, Mike Gundy, he's being funny. This social media can be very powerful. Social media has now disrupted your football program in a huge way. And it's like, now it's on Mike Gundy. Like, I don't know where to set the odds on Mike Gundy and his future with Oklahoma State. Will he be, what would the like offshore books would give you the odds? Like, will he be head coach for game one, 2020? Like, that could be being set right now by an odds maker somewhere. And I don't know which way I would lean on that, but I do think that right now all the responsibility is on him, because if he can't get the team behind him, then regardless of his political views or his choice of t-shirt, it is going to be doubtful as to whether or not he's the person to lead that program.
Just so like there, like a couple guys are starting to tweet out like some of the, you know, accusations, so to speak. Like Pat Macon tweeted, I was threatened I was going to get sent back to the hood numerous times. LC Greenwood, a guy that's transferred out, just said, I was called a hood rat and thug on multiple occasions, being threatened to be sent back home, all because wearing a do-rag and sleeveless shirts. Like, this is going to, I guess, escalate. This is going, and like, the interesting thing is, how is Mike Gundy, because like all those things you just said, Chip, like this sort of, oh, the new generation, that, you know, like he's the anti-transfer guy. Like, you know, these guys won't, you know, they don't stick it out like they used to. And these new people getting on social media these days, and these new, like all this sort of.
He uses the word snowflake unironically.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, and so how does a guy that like that, like even perceive and consume this sort of a threat to his, I mean, job security, his authority in the program. I don't know. It's a little bit. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know what to expect. I mean, Mike Gundy's not the most predictable guy in any sense. So maybe he does come back and he sort of acknowledges some failures in the culture here and addresses them, and, or maybe he's just like, you know what. If I can't run the program the way I'm, you know, should be able to run the program, someone else can do it. That wouldn't shock me either. I just don't know. This is going to be a really interesting response because there's got to be some sort of response from Oklahoma State.
I get the sense that, like, if Chuba Hubbard in particular is obviously going to be the focus of this, if Chuba Hubbard decided to come back and play at Oklahoma State, and if he was as excited about the prospects of the 2020 season, then I am at least going to entertain the idea that there has been some positive foundation of relationship created there. And I think we talked about it with Iowa. I'm trying to be better about assuming what is or isn't a good culture. Like, I think that's probably one of my big lessons that I'm trying to take forward. But I would think that Mike Gundy at least should have the avenue to be able to have those conversations. And there's not specific, there's not specific lists that we have right now, Chuba Hubbard, in terms of what he would like to see change. But man, Mike Gundy, like I would say that now would be a great time, if you haven't already, to just go in there and try to earn trust. Try to let them know that if there are shortcomings, that you can admit to them and that you can start to pave a path. Like I don't, Kirk Ferentz didn't lose his job, right? Like Chris Doyle got let go today. Press conference earlier today at Iowa. Seems like Kirk Ferentz is still going to be able to participate in the path to improvement at Iowa, or at least that is the stated goal from the Iowa athletic director and and Kirk Ferentz. Like, don't you think that if Kirk Ferentz, based on that huge pile of allegations that we saw at Iowa, I like to think, again, Mike Gundy's very unpredictable, and like your guess that he might just hang it up is absolutely one of the possibilities that I'm entertaining. But if he comes to the players and he's able to earn their trust and their support and their respect, there is a path for this to be something that doesn't break so poorly when it does seem like an overwhelming series of negative headlines right now, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's ultimately, I mean, with Iowa, the situation at Iowa was a lot of the allegations or complaints from current and former players were directed at Chris Doyle. They weren't directed at Kirk Ferentz. So he survived simply because the allegations were against him. Plus, he made the steps that the players wanted to see take place, where, you know, they've announced that new players committee that they have, and they're, you know, making changes to the culture. And Chris Doyle has been, you know, he's gone. They had their quote unquote separation agreement, which they announced on Monday. So yeah, a lot of it's going to depend on the allegations or whatever any Oklahoma State player says is happening, who they're saying is doing it, and whether Mike Gundy is aware of it or if he's the person doing it, and, you know, to what level that's gone to. And like you said, how he reacts to it. Like, Kirk Ferentz said, okay, wow, I hear you. there need to be changes. We're going to work on making changes. If Gundy comes out and says, oh, wow, I hear you. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't realize this was happening. We're going to make changes. I'm going to try to do better. We're all going to try to do better. Then, yeah, he'll probably keep his job. But like you said, if he does the whole, you know, oh, these, you know, kids today, you know, in the social media and the snowflakes and they need to toughen up and blah, 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 it might not go as well. No.
So but what's interesting about Chuba's statement is, I will not stand for this. This is completely insensitive to everything going on in society, and it's unacceptable. I would not be doing anything with Oklahoma State until things change. There is no definition for change.
I know.
What does change even mean? That's a fascinating question. What does change mean? What are the demands of Chuba Hubbard and the Oklahoma State football team of their head coach at this point?
I mean, that conversation is the most important conversation for the future of Oklahoma State football. All right, Chuba. Well, what's up? I mean, is it going to be a long sort of list? I don't know. I don't want to speculate on that, but you're 100% right, because without a definition on it, it can mean as little as a conversation and a promise of good faith. It could mean as much as a change at the head coaching position. And I've got no idea which way this goes.
And maybe it means like all these programs around the country are taking marches to the city, to the state capitol, and they're registering voters, and they're having speakers, and they're discussing the civil unrest and social issues, and like they're sort of responding to the current times. And maybe it's as simple as just like, I can't really envision Mike Gundy doing much of that in Stillwater right now. Maybe I've missed it. I don't know. But yeah, maybe Chuba Hubbard is just like, you know, all these programs are addressing this, are acknowledging this, and our head coach is burying his head in the sand. Like, you know, maybe that's all it takes. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Speaking of coaches getting involved with marches, Coalition of Clemson players led an activity in Clemson on Saturday evening, a Black Lives Matter rally. It included Dabo Swinney taking some time at the mic. They had a full presentation. It was well covered. It was well attended. I find that, especially as we're sitting here comparing it to Oklahoma State, when we were discussing Dabo Swinney, it seemed like there were a whole lot of Clemson players, both current and former, that were speaking out with stories of his support for players. Has he? What'd you make of the student activism and the coach activism in Clemson over the weekend?
Well, I mean, good for the players for standing up and doing what they believe in. As for the reaction with Dabo, yeah, the fact that his players are still out there supporting him and his players aren't, you know, saying like there were mistakes made, and maybe like if we talked about, Dabo could have handled the situation differently. But all in all, you know, it's one mistake compared to what the players obviously feel like has been a lot of good and a lot of love and a lot of, you know, other good nurturing things within that program. So that's going to, that balances it out, or, you know, it more than balances it out. So the fact that they're doing that, they feel that way and they're able to move forward and have that rally, I think that's pretty much kind of, you know, there's nothing bad to say about it. There's nothing, it's just the way it should be. If the players want to have that, then they should be allowed to do it. And if their coaches are willing to support them while they're doing it, that's fantastic, because I guarantee you that not every coach and not every player at Clemson has the same political views or has the same political goals for what's going to happen, but they're all working together to let the players and people say what they want. And that's what we're supposed to be able to do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have much to add. I think it's, do you, Chip?
I think that there's, I think it's an interesting position. I don't want to put this right on Dabo Swinney specifically, but there is just a sea change in college football in general. You know, we've mentioned in previous podcasts about how, you know, the power dynamic and how players have never had more power, and how young people all across the country just seem to be a little bit different, little bit bolder than maybe was expected of them, especially at such a young age. And I think that there is an element of this where you've got to consider as a coach at high level college football that you either got to get on board with this like player first mindset, or you're going to get left in the dust. Because I mean, Lincoln Riley has been very outspoken about trying to be a part of positive change and stand and support his players. Tom Herman has been very outspoken and supported his players who are calling for change at the University of Texas. Former Oklahoma State offensive coordinator, Mike Yurcich, at Texas right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was supporting the players who are asking for change at the University of Texas. I don't want to say that it's a recruiting move because I don't want to allege bad faith anywhere. But I do think that what we've seen is a total sea change in the power dynamic, and the coaches who are not already standing from a place of a player first mentality already, if you're not there yet, then you're going to get left in the dust, and it might not cost you your job. But I just think that it's a page is turned, and whatever that old school approach is, it's very, very quickly going out the window in college football, at least by my estimation.
Yeah, I think, if you listen to just sort of what's emerging from the Oklahoma State and Iowa stuff, it's stuff, like it's not blatant, outward racist stuff. It's just, it's more stuff that has been more defined in this like old school, tough guy coach, where you know the only way that you can get them to be any good is to just like demean them, and I've said this for a while. Like I've said like that the game is trending towards good human beings being the best coaches, and that's not to say that the guy like that they're bad human beings because they could be demeaning to their players. But I do think that the game is moving towards a player coach model in the sense of meaningful relationships. Players aren't going to be responsive to a demeaning atmosphere because that's not necessary. Like there's been a discovery, I think, a realization that that's not necessary to get the best. You can still coach someone hard. You can still hold people accountable. You can still be disciplined, but the demeaning atmosphere just is no longer necessary. And maybe never was. It was just more commonplace. And I think now players are sort of demanding that to be the case.
At Ohio State, they have returned to player activities, and we saw a good bit of conversation from the Columbus Dispatch's reporting of the COVID-19 waiver that Ohio State football players were asked to sign before they began, again, voluntary team activities, but still school-sanctioned activities. The waiver, as it's built, has a couple pieces to it. Number one, it's a set of guidelines that it is asking these players to pledge to follow both in and out of the facilities. It's also asking the players to submit themselves to regular testing. It asks that they participate, quote, fully and honestly with the contact tracing that the medical professionals are going to provide and are going to participate in. It also is an acknowledgement of risk that even if you follow all of the protocols within the waiver, that you might contract COVID-19 while participating in a team activity, voluntary or mandatory, as it might come later in the season. Did these waivers, and this, I mean, I don't want to like jump on this conversation. Did this waiver draw any attention from y'all? And how'd you interpret some of the conversations surrounding it?
It drew my attention simply because there were so many people talking about it when the news first broke of it existing. And by the way, I'm pretty sure there's SMU also has done it. I think the Dallas Morning News, there was a report that SMU has handed out similar waivers. Adam Rittenberg from ESPN talked to Tom Mars, you know, the attorney who helped players get, like, you know, with transfer waivers and that kind of stuff in recent years, now works for the NCAA. He read the waiver, and to quote, he said, "The form isn't a waiver in any sense of the word. At most, it's an acknowledgement of an intuitively obvious risk. From my perspective, I wouldn't consider the form to have any legal significance." So it's not like you're signing away your ability to sue us if you get sick kind of deal. Now, the question becomes whether it's legal or not, or like saying if it's a legal waiver saying players can't sue them, is part of the intent to at least players think that that's what it is? So that way, if they do get it, they don't think they can sue the school. Because if you look at the reaction from a lot of people who aren't lawyers, you know, media people who are our colleagues who read it, they kind of thought that's what it was, even though that's not what it is. So if they're thinking it is, maybe the players are probably going to think it is. Maybe the players' parents might think it is, because not all of us understand the law or are lawyers or have that kind of background. So it's not a legal thing, but there is some room to wonder if maybe an ulterior motive behind them isn't with that in mind.
Yeah, Dan Wolkin, and there's some others that maybe tweeted something similar. Dan Wolkin tweeted something to the effect of, like, if I was a parent, I would never, if I was an athlete or a parent of an athlete, I would never sign this. And I just don't know what that's supposed to mean. Does that mean, like,
I would sign it because it doesn't mean anything.
Right. But even if it did mean something, like, what are you prepared? Like, what stand are you prepared to make? Like, are players willing to if players are out here, I'm sort of more curious as much as anything, but, like, are players willing? All I can speak of is for myself. And look, when you're a high school kid, I understand this, or a college kid, I understand sometimes you have to be protected from yourself a little bit. Like, I would have played with any injury, regardless of what it might have meant for my future, because, like, you don't really think long term like that. And, like, so players are going to want to play, and they're going to sign whatever they have to sign to play. I guess what I'm curious are there people out there that are wouldn't sign this and would risk not playing at all to make sure that you are safe from COVID or more safe from COVID? Because to me, like, there is a level of risk you take in playing football regardless. Like, for a lot of these guys, this year of football is an opportunity to continue to build a resume for your professional career. I just, like, what is the alternative from accepting the risk of playing with COVID?
So I think that this is interesting because I think it is a glimpse into the future. I think that there will be some fans in some stadiums, and I think there's a non-zero chance that there are listeners of this podcast who are going to be some of those fans in stadiums. And I think every one of those fans is going to sign a similar waiver. I had to sign one to go to the pool.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'll say some of our listeners probably work in offices at companies, and they haven't been working in their offices for the last few months. And I would bet that when they go back to the office, they'll be signing a similar waiver.
I was glad that I'd had the experience of going to the pool once. I wrote the story for CBSSports.com, and in the story I did mention, as I was wrapping it up near the end, that, you know, although we do not know the future of the virus in this country, or, you know, what universities are going to decide to do, it is possible that any fan that wants to participate in being in the stadium is going to have to sign a similar waiver for the university. It is possible that every single student just coming to campus is going to end up having to sign a similar waiver for the university. So I saw it as an interesting sort of peer into the future, not something to get, not to throw my arms up about, though. Reading the waiver, there's also the aspect of, because it's the Buckeye Pledge, and the things that you're pledging to do are to follow very specifically all of the guidelines.
Yeah.
And I don't trust a 19 to 22 year old to very specifically follow all of the guidelines. So it like, it almost sets it up, and I cannot speak to the legality. I'm no good. I am not a lawyer, so I can't speak to the legality of the document, but it does seem like one of those documents that says, even if you were to try to, to come at the school would then try to use the document to say, hey, but you pledged that you weren't going to go to any of these parties, and man, we've got proof you were at this party. Sorry, bud, not our liability. Like it very much seems like a play, not necessarily specifically to protect yourself from lawsuits, but probably more than anything to just appease the insurance company that has the umbrella policy for your school.
Yeah, and in a way, it's not the same thing, but like the reaction to it that we saw is in the same vein as the OAN t-shirt, in that, I mean, there are a lot of problems and legit concerns about the way that this is going down, where these players are back on campus to play football, but if football wasn't such a huge driver of money, there's a good chance they wouldn't be back, and they might be held out a little longer, and they would not be in the situation they are. So there are a lot of problems and concerns in that aspect, which just go on top of a lot of problems and concerns with the entire relationship between schools and student athletes and the balance of power and money. So then this waiver is just kind of like another little thing on top, where it's just, okay, what the hell is this? And everybody kind of overreacts to it. I understand why. I don't think the waiver is a big deal. I think it's probably going to be, like you said, Chip, it's probably going to be the norm in a lot of facets of life over the next few months as the country as a whole starts trying to get back to the, you know, the normal manner that we used to exist in.
Are you doing anything to say new normal? Or not to say new normal? Are you trying to ban it from?
Yeah, I mean... No, it's such a cliched thing to say, but at the same time, it's like, of all the times in our life where it actually might make sense to say it.
We'll see. Coming up on the other side, you know the schools, the CPU, Tom Fornelli Tech, Barton A&M. We're trying to put together the best quarterback room in the country. Next.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right. Let's take a look at the quarterbacks across all of college football. Here's the activity. We are trying, I guess we're going to go four rounds. Does that work?
Yep.
Four man room sounds right.
Four man room.
All the scholarships I got available.
Yeah, I mean, how many scholarships you want me to hand out to a quarterback?
I mean, I got a Chase Bryce walk-on spot right here, ready to go. So we're going to be trying to put together, and there's a lot of different ways to attack this. We can see how it goes in the, but how each coach decides to put together their room. I'm going to use the regular season standings of last year's locks, which would mean Tom gets the first pick. Barton gets the first pick. Tom gets the second. Damn. Chip gets the third. So, 754 and 5 in the regular season.
Can I trade down?
To any? Oh, do you just not want one?
I mean, I would if who is, let's see, Chip, I will trade you straight up 1 for 3.
Okay.
All right.
Sweet. Now, before we start, are Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields draftable, or are we leaving them out?
No, I think they're draftable. We're drafting this room to be your quarterback room heading into the 2020 season, correct?
Okay, cool. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure because there was some discussion in the text thread this morning that we might just not include them.
Yeah, no. I thought that they were obvious, and I thought that that meant that the person in third would be a little bit disadvantaged. But the person in first just traded his pick away.
Yeah. For the third pick, straight up.
For the third pick.
Didn't even ask for a later pick.
So therefore, I'm with the first pick. And we're not doing snake, right? Just 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3?
No. I assumed snake.
Yeah, that's I assumed snake.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Let me go. Chip, Tom. With the first pick in the quarterback draft, the CPU takes Trevor Lawrence.
Terrible pick. Wow, you're going to live to regret that one. Just
so you are running a kind of a pro style spread.
That is one of my options right now. I mean, we got out there and we wanted to make sure that we not only brought in a certified generational talent, but also a leader in his community. Because remember, at CPU, it's not a 4-year decision. It's a 40-year decision.
That's right.
All right, Tom.
Gee, golly, shucks. I don't know which direction I should go with the second pick. I think I'll take the guy who threw 41 touchdowns with only 3 interceptions and then ran for a bunch more touchdowns last season, too. I'll take Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields. Welcome to Fernelli Tech, Justin.
All right, the fly sweep doesn't inflate those standings, but I do agree he was probably best available. Now the most fascinating school on the board, Barton A&M at the swing spot.
Yeah, Barton A&M, we consider ourselves a bit of a maverick program. You know, we're not going to play by y'all's rules. What we are going to do is get the best quarterback in college football. North Dakota State.
Boo. Oh, man. What a neutral.
You passed up Trevor Lawrence for Trey Lance.
Listen, here's the deal. Okay. Here's the deal. When Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks are telling me that Trey Lance has maybe the best film of any of the top 3 quarterbacks, I'm going to listen. And when North Dakota State is about to go about 7 straight years with an NFL draft pick at quarterback between 3 different guys, I'm going to believe that they've got a pretty good idea of how to develop the position. So I think I'm getting a guy that's very athletic, that has never turned the ball over in his college football life, and who has as much upside as any of these other guys, and I'm going to get him at a discounted price. I'm not saying he is the best, but I am saying that, look, he might be close enough to where you guys enjoy your 1 year with Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. I'll enjoy my 1 year for Trey Lance. We'll let the chips fall. We'll see where they all get drafted. And while you guys are scrambling for your next guy, I'll be sitting here with Bryce Young, my number 4 pick, who is the next best quarterback in college football. I do. Snake draft, right?
No, you traded first for third. You didn't trade all of your picks.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on.
I was under the impression I was trading draft order.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. I thought you guys were just trading picks.
No. Then, like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I thought you were a moron. This makes more sense.
Okay.
I thought you were just like, I'll just give you one for three straight up.
I thought I was, okay. Commission. We'll get the commissioner to approve this, but I thought I was trading my draft order.
Agree. I agreed to the trade based on the same premise.
All right, cool. Now that may. Whew, okay. Yeah. I was getting worried, Barton. I was getting very worried.
All right, Tom. Back to you.
Well, gee, Bryce Young is gone. Means I'm gonna need somebody ready to step in as my starter next year. After Justin Fields leaves for the NFL, good thing I've got Kadon Slovis just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
As my backup.
Yeah, I know. See, and this is a spot where as I'm sitting here on the turn.
If Bryce Young was there, would you have taken Bryce Young or would you have taken Keaton Slovis?
I'd have taken Keaton Slovis.
Okay.
I'd have taken, I understand his approach. Now, I will say I'm stuck here with Trevor Lawrence, who is in all likelihood gone after 2020. I'm looking at my board. I see a Derek King, 50 touchdowns last time he played a full season. But I mean, Sam Ellinger, an actual senior, gracious. A Tanner Morgan. Like there's a lot of good older players that I did block myself out of with my bringing on Trevor Lawrence early. But when you've got the opportunity to get a generational talent, you got to do it. So to really bolster the future of the room, for my pick at the turn, my two picks will be rising sophomores Sam Howell and Jaden Daniels.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, that's building a top flight, deep quarterback room. You, of course, know that after this season, assuming that those guys, like, because here's the deal. Like, those guys are going to be competing for a starting job with Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence probably wins that job. We're going to work under the assumption those guys stick around this year. But certainly after next year, whoever loses that job is going to transfer out. So you're left with one and whoever your next pick is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gamble.
Now, we are starting to no longer, you know, just focus in on what our system is going to be. But we do have in Lawrence and Howell some just dynamic. In Lawrence and Howell, you've just got big arms, great at pushing the ball down the field. In Howell and Daniels, some super clutch gene. Both of those guys with some stellar fourth quarter play last year and room to grow. So far for the CPU, I like where we're at. Tom, you're up next.
All right. Well, I need to get some young blood in the room. I need somebody to learn. You can have Bryce Young, Barton, because I'm taking DJ Uiagalelei.
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 Yeah, that makes sense. Makes a ton of sense. So he is behind Justin. He's
probably going to be redshirting this year.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, you basically have Clemson's quarterback room so far. Just replace Trevor with Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
What are the chances do you think that DJ Uiagalelei, repeat it one more time? I'm going to get it.
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei. What are the chances that DJ Uiagalelei sees significant time on the field for Clemson this year?
I'd say they're pretty likely.
I think so too.
I mean, I think he's going to get a lot of burn in those blowouts, and they're going to try to get him get his feet wet, get him comfortable so that, you know, he's, when the time comes next year, he's ready.
I think that it was against Charlotte last year, Trevor Lawrence didn't play after the first quarter. And I see a lot more of those games on the horizon for Lawrence. So Tom's quarterback looking like we might see some more of him. All right, Barton.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other backup, Tyson Pumashan, is likely I think they're going to try to get both those guys a lot of reps, honestly. I bet they try to sort of treat it as if there's some sort of a, you know, competition. Not that there is, but they'll try to sort of give those guys both some opportunities. For my next pick, so I've got Trey Lance, I've got Bryce Young.
You've got not a lot that is proven at the FBS level.
No. But I'm very confident in my room though. And I'm gonna have Trey Lance as my starter, obviously, this year. I expect him to be drafted in the first round after the season. Bryce Young, I would expect, steps into that role as a redshirt freshman or true sophomore as my starter and my quarterback of the future. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to draft Jaquindon Jackson out of the University of Texas. He is a true freshman this year. He might have been the best player in the state of Texas last year in terms of just pure high school football. He's a dual threat quarterback. If he hits, he's maybe a Dak Prescott type, maybe a Tim Tebow type. But in this spot, as I'm building this quarterback room, I like that he's got the opportunity to excel at another position if he doesn't hit, whether that be linebacker, safety, H-back, receiver, that he can do a lot of different things. So I think I'm going to give myself some flexibility in the room with Jaquindon Jackson.
Hmm. All right. Who's your other one?
Oh, I'm just back to me again, right? Yeah. Okay. So the other one, this is a little bit inside baseball, like because
there's no such thing as baseball anymore.
Right. Right. I understand no one really like maybe a few of the people that follow 24/7 and the recruiting stuff know these guys, but this is another true freshman, Evan Prater, who's committed, signed with Cincinnati. All right.
God, what a deep cut.
This is another guy who is, he's probably not ready right away. And so maybe behind Bryce Young, he redshirts. Maybe it's a redshirt junior year before he plays. But I think he could be like the as good as anybody in that class. Really versatile, really athletic. Big time basketball player, just getting going, just the best athlete on the field kind of kid. I think that guy's going to be a baller for Cincinnati. Won't be starting this year, but in the future. And so if I get him just as the guy to sort of mold and groom on the back end, I feel pretty good about that room.
What a youth movement for Barton to round it out. So that is Trey Lance, Bryce Young, Jaquindon Jackson, and Evan Prater.
So I'm sacrificing the security blanket of an experienced backup for the upsides of a long-term room.
Right. And also position flexibility.
And position flexibility. Yeah.
All right. Man, that is the neutral milk hotel of quarterback drafts right there. All right, Tom, you're up next.
All right. I've got my unquestioned starter Heisman candidate in Justin Fields. We got Keaton Slovis, who is a quality backup and a guy who, once Fields leaves, could, hold on and earn the starting job and keep it himself. I've got the young phenom, the DJU, waiting in the wings. He's going to redshirt, and I feel like he's going to need a little more competition because, at Fernelli Tech, we don't, it's a crucible. All right, only the best survive. To be the best, you've got to beat the best. So I'm going to take CJ Stroud, another very young five-star quarterback. We're waiting on an Ohio State commit because I feel like I've got the present taken care of with Fields and Slovis in case Fields goes down and I need a backup with experience. And now I've got the future, a competition for the future already between DJ and CJ. All the J's, give them to me.
CJ was actually, it was out for my last pick. It was either going to be Evan Prater or CJ Stroud. So I definitely like that pick.
CJ Stroud. All right. He's on the roster right now, right? Because we've, 2020 yes. class.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is a true freshman.
He remains Justin Fields' backup in either realm.
Now I'm going to have to, I'm probably going to have to make some moves on the recruiting trail and to solidify things moving forward, be with the way that my room is going to be rounded out. But I do want to get somebody with a couple years of eligibility left, even if it's going to make it a little bit of a log jam with Sam Howell and Jaden Daniels. But I'm gonna go with Alan Bowman from Texas Tech, who obviously exploded during his freshman season, took a red shirt during his sophomore year. And as I was putting together my draft board for this activity, I'm thinking to myself, would you rather have another player who only has 1 year of eligibility left in your room when almost certainly, if they haven't been drafted by now, they are probably not going to get ahead of Trevor Lawrence, Sam Howell, or Jaden Daniels? So, you know, why not have it be somebody with some experience at the Power 5 level who you know is going to be ready to answer the call because he's done it before, to just come in and sling that rock? You know we're going to have good wide receivers at CPU. You know we're going to be flashy. It's a party school. You know, everything's very surface level for us. And Alan Bowman can really come in and give us the edge we need to have some 50 to 43 games that'll make everybody real happy and hanging out in the stadium, buying a lot of concessions during our long spread-infused games.
I like that pick. That's a nice, like, and you know when he comes in, like, he's going to come in and he's going to mount some furious fourth quarter comeback, and there's going to be a cult following for him, and everyone, he's going to be the most popular guy on the campus. And you've got a security blanket in him sitting on the bench. So I'm feeling you on that one.
So, the CPU is Trevor Lawrence, Sam Howell, Jaden Daniels, and Alan Bowman. Roast my team.
I'd say you have them. You're like, if we were to put this to a vote amongst our Cover 3 listeners, I would assume you would win because you have the best. Like, those are definitely the four best quarterbacks right now. But, you know, when your depth chart is empty in a year because they've all transferred out, you know, good luck.
Tom's quarterback room: Justin Fields, Keaton Slovis, DJU, and CJ Stroud.
Try to beat it. Go ahead. We're taking care of for like at least the 3-4 years, and who knows who we're going to be bringing in our next few recruiting classes. Just add to that room. I mean, I see 3 or 4 Heismans in my QB room right now.
I see a big mix up in identity. I hope that you're ready to be very multiple. I know that all college football coaches want to be multiple and aggressive, but you've got a wide range of quarterbacking styles there.
Listen, at Fernelli Tech, we are on the leading cutting edge of technology and life, and we adapt our team to our players. We could play with anybody, Chip. We could play with you. That's how good we are.
And at Barton A&M, we've got Trey Lance, Bryce Young, Jaquindon Jackson, and Evan Prater.
Go ahead.
I see a lot of dark horse stocks, you know? Yeah. I see a lot of the same kind of picks that I make when I'm in NFL fantasy leagues, which means that I always finish fourth in these fantasy leagues because I always take college players way too high that I like.
Okay. All right. So this is actually my strategy in NFL fantasy leagues. I haven't played fantasy football in several years. But when I played, I was pretty good. Like I won most of the time. And the reason I would have success is because everyone was drafting the guy that had the great year last year. I was trying to draft the guy that was going to be that, like, find the value. And so that's going to be my mentality across the board, is try to find the value. I do want to bring up a few of the names that I considered. Y'all want to hear a few of these guys?
Yeah.
So sure. I considered picking up Max Duggan somewhere along the way from TCU. Mm-hmm. Look, you know, backup guy, a little volatility. Maybe he could use a year to sit back on the bench and develop. But whenever he gets back in, again, there's that upside there. I thought about maybe Will Levis somewhere from Penn State. If you remember, against I think it was Ohio State. Was it that Sean Clifford went down? It was actually Will Levis that sort of gave them the spark, and they looked like they had a chance to actually compete with. Big arm, really athletic, massive kid. And again, so like he'll be a fresh, you know, he'll be a sophomore this year. If he ever, like, he could be the guy that hits for Penn State. It's just he might not. Joe Milton, similarly at Michigan, kind of had a similar thought process with. And then in the Jaquinn and Jackson mold, Anthony Richardson at Florida, who's a true freshman, who's like 6'5 and runs a 4.6 and is like a kind of a Keaton Thompson type. And then the last guy I thought about throwing on there is fresh off his LDS mission at Stanford, Tanner McKee. Probably sitting there at like 20, 21 years old as a, you know, true freshman. You know, some maturity in the room might be nice to throw into the mix.
I
love the idea that a 21-year-old is like bringing maturity. I'm thinking about me funneling beer at 21. Like, yeah, we could use some of his maturity in the room.
So the Spencers did not get a touch. Sophomore Spencer Sanders at Oklahoma State, I had on my big board, but avoided. Freshman Spencer Rattler, who is one of the highest names on a lot of Heisman Trophy odds boards, I didn't even have on my list to draft. I think that that's another unproven entity that I'm not ready to saddle up with. I think Spencer Rattler has shown tons of reasons, including his high school production, his talent rating, to suggest that him plus Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma offense, it's going to equal success. But I was interested that when it came time to make these tough decisions at CPU, neither Spencer Rattler nor Spencer Sanders was getting picked up.
I had Rattler on my list. It's just after I took Slovis, he kind of became, you know, like a came too similar as far as my backup in that same situation. And I'd rather, if I was going to go with two guys who hadn't started yet, I'd rather go with dudes who were incoming freshmen than guys who were, you know, going to be starting this year. Cause I feel like once Fields graduated, if neither DJ or CJ are ready to take over the job, I've already got a ready-made replacement in Keaton Slovis.
Spencer Rattler was the number one quarterback in the country and a five-star coming out of high school. I don't know how much longer he's going to be satisfied sitting on the bench behind Trey Lance. So I went ahead and let him do his thing.
I think the best undrafted player, regardless of team needs, I'm going to say Tanner Morgan.
He was on my list. If I didn't get Fields or Lawrence, I would have taken Tanner Morgan. If I had the third pick,
you would have taken Tanner Morgan over.
Mm-hmm. I'm a Tanner Morgan stan.
Okay.
Anybody
got the advanced stats to back it up, baby?
Barton, anybody on your board left undrafted that you would consider in a quarterback ranking style to be worthy of, you know, top consideration, best available among the undrafted, I suppose?
The top seven drafted were my top seven guys as well. So I don't know. I mean, Tanner Morgan would certainly be a candidate. There's,
Purdy.
Purdy, Kyle that's
Trask.
True.
I had Ian Book in case I went really young early and wanted like a veteran backup to teach him.
I put Kellen Mond on there and laughed.
No, Kellen Mond did not make my list. I had Dylan Gabriel, Michael Cunningham, Hendon Hooker, Michael Penix, Davis Mills, Hank Bachmeyer. These are all guys on the board.
Yeah, I had Brady White.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Brady White would be a fantastic backup.
I think that Brady White's been in the game so long that if in our he can be like a mid-year enrollee, like maybe he joins the program and plays in the bowl game. If we get an injury and all of a sudden need somebody to come and fill in, he's got that kind of vet that you see in the NBA that might sign with the team midway through the year.
Right. Just like pick up the offense, just come in, teach the young guys the offense.
Yeah.
And hand it off.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. But I like it. Let us know on Twitter, by the way, which of these teams or which of these quarterback rooms you think was the most well-drafted. You can follow it at Cover3Podcast. If you want to submit a question for the mailbag is always open. All you got to do is you got to go find the Cover3Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review, and in that review, put a question for the mailbag. We'll add it to the big old bag of mail, which I suspect we will be opening later this week on Thursday, and we will be continuing to monitor what happens out of Stillwater. Don't forget, Cover3 Podcast, home of all your favorite emergency podcasts in college football. You can follow him on Twitter at Barton Simmons. You can follow him at Tom Finelli. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you,
sir.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.